Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Joan Didion's The Year of Magical Thinking. Sophie, I have to ask, did this book hit you as hard as it hit me?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those books that feels almost too raw to be shared, but she does it anyway. It's a memoir about the year after her husband, John Gregory Dunn, died suddenly of a heart attack while they were sitting down to dinner.
Right. And she's this incredibly clear-eyed journalist, someone who prides herself on precise language and rational observation. But grief just dismantles all of that.
Yes.
The title comes from this irrational hope she experiences. She calls it magical thinking. She can't give away his shoes because he'll need them when he comes back. She keeps his cell phone plan active because how else would he call her?
It's so human, though. I think we all do that in our own ways, right? We hold on to these tiny rituals, these little superstitions, because the alternative, accepting that they're really gone, is just too much.
Exactly.
And what makes this book so remarkable is that Didion doesn't just describe her grief. She investigates it like a reporter. She reads the medical literature, the psychological studies, the memoirs of other widows.
She's trying to understand it, to put it in a box she can examine. But grief, she discovers, doesn't fit neatly into any box.
Right.
She finds that grief comes in waves, not as one big event, but as these small ambushes. You forget for a moment, then you remember, and it hits you fresh each time.
And then there's the added layer that her daughter Quintana was already in the hospital with pneumonia when John died. And then Quintana gets worse, septic shock, a brain hemorrhage. So Didion is grieving her husband while fighting for her daughter's life.
That part is almost unbearable to read. She starts to believe that if she can just keep Quintana alive, maybe John's death was some kind of trade. It's magical thinking at its most desperate.
But she's aware that it's irrational. She knows that's not how the world works. But knowing doesn't stop the feeling.
That's the paradox at the heart of the book. We know our magical thinking is false, but we can't stop ourselves from engaging in it.
One part that really got me was when she realizes that John isn't coming back. It's not the night he died. It's months later when she thinks about a trip they had planned. The future they were supposed to have together just evaporates.
Yes.
She writes that the cruelest part of grief isn't losing what was, but losing what might have been. All those days and years that are now canceled.
And she also struggles with memory. She realizes her memories of John aren't fixed. They change over time as she changes. She remembers things that never happened, forgets things she thought were burned into her mind.
She calls it a kind of betrayal at first, but then she understands it's just how memory works. We don't store our loved ones in amber. We carry them with us and they shift and evolve.
There's a beautiful passage where she talks about how she and John had their own private language, their own rituals. While he died, she lost not just a husband, but a witness, someone who knew her better than anyone else.
That idea of losing a witness is so powerful. Someone who could confirm your memories, remind you of who you used to be.
The book also deals with the question of whether she could have prevented his death. She replays that evening over and over, searching for clues she missed.
Another form of magical thinking. She knows it's futile, but she can't stop. And that's the thing, grief isn't rational. It doesn't care what you know.
Didion also struggles with language. She's a writer who has always believed words can capture experience, but grief resists that. She can't write for months.
And when she finally does start writing, it's not because she's found a way to make sense of it. It's because she's accepted that she can't. The book itself becomes an act of magical thinking, a way to keep John alive on the page.
Honestly, this book is not comforting. It doesn't offer platitudes about time healing all wounds. Didion is too honest for that.
She says she didn't emerge from that year wiser or more enlightened. She emerged battered and exhausted, still grieving. But she also learned that grief isn't something you get over. It's something you learn to live with.
And maybe that's the takeaway for me. We don't have to get over loss. We just have to survive it one day at a time.
And if you want to go deeper, The whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
That's a great deal. But Sophie, what's your final thought on this book?
I think The Year of Magical Thinking is a book about the fierce, stubborn love that binds us to each other and the strange ways we find to go on when going on seems impossible. It will break your heart, but it offers truth, and that's the only comfort we have. We'll see you in the next one.